Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Graduate Coach Podcast. This is solo episode number 6, if I'm not mistaken. This is a series where I go into 7 questions each episode and give you an insight into my opinion on them and any kind of main takeaways for you to implement into your own life. So without further ado, I'm going to crack right on with the questions. So question number 1 is, any tips for a university student on a budget who's trying to gain muscle? Number 1 is going to be shop at Aldi or Lidl. Like, they're going to be significantly cheaper than your regular supermarket like Sainsbury's or Asda. Secondly is going to base your meals around like pasta and rice, just because they are dirt cheap, and especially in Aldi and Lidl. And number 3 is going to buy frozen, like fresh, like fruit and veg can be pricey. And then if you can buy frozen, then like that's absolutely great. There's just as much nutrition in frozen food as versus fresh food. So just for example, like, I'm pretty sure a kilogram of frozen veg is like 89p in Aldi, whereas buying it fresh may be a bit more pricier than that. So those are kind of 3 tips for university students to take away. So just in summary, shop at the kind of discount supermarkets, base your meals around cheap carbs, and also buy frozen where you can. Question number 2 is, what's your opinion on IIFYM? So IIFYM, for those who don't know, is if it fits your macros. Simply put, this is where you can eat anything you want, quote unquote, as long as it fits your daily macronutrient requirements of protein, fat, and carb. Personally, I don't think this is a good approach to take, because I see quite a lot of people taking it to the extreme of trying to fit stupid amounts of, like, for example, like some people try to fit a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's in their diet. So Ben and Jerry's is about 1500 calories a tub, and they may be only dieting on 2000 calories. So all of a sudden they've only got 500 calories for the rest of the day because they can eat whatever they want. So that's my opinion on it. I tend to take an approach where I like to eat 80% of my food from whole food sources and then 20% of whatever I want. I find that's a lot more sustainable and enjoyable. Because even though you get to eat whatever you want, it may not be enjoyable to like say, for instance, again, eat a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's and then feel like shit for the rest of the day because you've only got a small amount of food to look forward to. So really, I think you should take a more flexible dieting 80-20 approach rather than saying, oh yeah, I'll eat whatever I can, because that can lead to literally you eating whatever the fuck you want and neglecting your vegetables and leading you to, again, being stupid with your food choices, to put it bluntly. Question number 3 is, what is the most important macro for muscle building? And you've probably guessed already, but it is protein. Why is it protein? So protein is the building blocks of our muscle tissue. So protein is made up of amino acids, and that's what is muscle tissue. So if we get sufficient protein, we're going to be maximizing the amount of muscle that we can build, provided that we provide the muscle with a stimulus that enables it to grow, or like basically puts it in a position where it needs to grow to be stronger. Like, what I mean by that is progressively increasing your weights and reps week on week. Doing so will enable your body or your muscles to have to to adapt to it. If you're lifting like light as shit and you're not really putting in the effort, your muscles aren't going to adapt, because there's nothing to adapt to. It's way too easy. So the correct kind of training intensity is also required. I've got briefly go into the other macronutrients. So secondly, in terms of muscle building, I believe carbs to be second. Why do I believe that? Because carbs are the main source of energy for our body. They're our preferred source of energy through glucose. So when you break down when carbs are broken down in the body, they will be broken down into glucose, and that's an easily, not easily digestible, sorry. It's what the body can easily use as energy, as opposed to like breaking down protein and fat and then converting it into carbs and then glucose and using it that way. Simply put, so when you consume carbs, it's breaking down glucose, and then the body can use that straight away for energy. So that's going to affect gym performance. So you can push heavier weight, you can get stronger in that. If you're pushing heavier weight, then your body has to adapt. And if we're getting sufficient protein, we will enable that. And then finally, fats. So fats really, for me, only like regulate hormones at the end of the day. And they can also add a lot of palatability to your food. That's why you see a lot of junk food contain high fat, just because it tastes good. Like if you gave someone extra fat in their diet, they're not going to complain. Whereas suppose if you give them an extra chicken breast to eat per day, they might have a little bit of trouble doing that. So that's really all it's for. It's mainly for me to increase someone's like dietary caloric consumption per day. It's the easiest to increase because it's the most dense. So carbs and protein have 4 calories per gram, as opposed to fat, which has 9 calories per gram. And then number 4 is, what is the 80-20 principle? So I've touched on this again and again, but just to confirm, so 80-20 principle, I mean 80% of your diet should contain whole like nutritious food, like rice, pasta, vegetables, fruit, etc. It should be a single ingredient kind of food. So literally apple, what's in an apple? It's literally just an apple. Whereas opposed to a Pop-Tart, I don't even know how many bloody ingredients are in a Pop-Tart. So that's what I mean. And then the other 20% can be like that Pop-Tart. It can be that Twix or Mars bar or crisps, whatever you want. So for example, if you're on 2000 calories, 1600 of it should come from whole nutritious food, and a maximum of 400 can come from more fun foods. And I think that's quite sustainable, because 400 there is even quite a lot. Like a Twix bar is like 120 calories or so. So you could literally have 3, like 4 max of those and still be considered within that 80-20 principle. Okay, we'll move on to question number 5 now, and that is, do I need to track my food to lose weight? The answer is no, but it helps a lot. So if you don't track your food, you're basically just guessing how much you eat or consume in terms of calories per day, unless you have a very, very like detailed knowledge on exactly what's in food in terms of calories, and you have a very, very, very like keen eye for kind of portion sizes, then maybe you can do it. And if you have like some controls in terms of portion sizes, whether you're using like a cup, a teaspoon, a tablespoon, etc., then you might be able to. But for the most part, I think it's good to go through a phase initially of tracking your food, just because you will get used to what portions look like, how much of this should you be having, what this looks like in terms of on your plate, and that can be good overall when, like, because I don't think we should be tracking food for our whole life. Like, I think it should be a phase you go through to get used to, or like gain knowledge on nutrition and kind of portion sizes, etc. So if you're a beginner, I say track your food. If you've been doing this a while, then you've got to think to yourself, am I going to be like competing like in a bodybuilding, or do I want to reach a certain goal in my physique? If yes, then I think you should track your food, because it's going to help a lot. If you're kind of just don't really mind, and you have a good eye again for nutrition and portion sizes, etc., and don't have a specific goal, then it's up to you what you do. I would say don't track and just kind of eat what you want intuitively, and you're more than likely maintain what your weight is. So question number six, how do I gain weight even when I'm eating 4,000 calories plus? If you're not gaining weight on 4,000 calories plus, then I'm afraid you're just going to have to eat more. And I think you really need to assess your diet and where that food is coming from, whether it's coming from kind of whole food sources, whether you're getting enough protein. Like if you're just eating shit in terms of like four Pop-Tarts a day and a bar of like Toblerone and a pack of Maltesers, then I think you need to reassess. But just some easy ways to get in extra calories would be things like adding butter to your diet on bread or something, adding more cheese, adding like liquid calories. Like normally I would be against liquid calories, but that's when really you're dieting or maintaining. I think liquid calories can be overconsumed quite easily, but when you're trying to gain weight and you're already eating that much food, liquid calories becomes kind of a godsend, just because you can drink a lot more. You can obviously add in calories through liquid and it's not really going to fill you up that much. So butter, liquid calories, peanut butter as well, just because it's very calorie dense. I think it's like something like 600 per 100 grams, and that can go down quite easily. Also cook with either like coconut oil or olive oil, or add it to your meals, because it's a very, very easy way of racking up a lot of calories. It's like 90 calories in a tablespoon. You're not going to really even see that on a plate, but it's going to add the like a nice taste to it. It's going to be a bit fattier and more richer, so it also like increase the palatability of your food as well. So 4 basic kind of ways of increasing your calories is going to be butter, liquid calories, peanut butter, and olive oil or cooking kind of oils. I would opt for olive oil, like extra virgin olive oil or coconut oil, just because then the more dense ones in kind of monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat, which is the healthier fats. And then finally, what's the difference between free weights and machines? In terms of like muscle building, as long as like the intensity is there, I can see you gaining muscle by using one or the other. I would say use a mix of both just because you want to keep a variety of movements so it's more enjoyable and you're getting stronger in a lot of different kind of planes of motion. But like you can see like certain programs like Starting Strength will just have barbell movements, and that's absolutely like fine. I think that's absolutely fantastic for beginners. The key thing here is the more you age in training life, the more you're going to need to vary up your training, because doing the same movements and again, you're not going to get stronger. And I think adding in those accessories are going to be pivotal to increasing your main lifts. But in terms of the differences between them, all it is that free weights, you are in control of where exactly the bar or the dumbbells are going to move. Whereas in a machine variation, you have a fixed point you press or like push from, pull from, etc., and a fixed point where it can go to, because it's determined by the length of the cable or whatever it may be on the machine. But in terms of muscle building, I think, as I say, beginner, start with just free weights and then progressively move into a more varied approach as your kind of training life increases. So that's everything in terms of the questions for this week. If you've enjoyed it, please, as always, do share it with a friend or share it on your Instagram or Facebook. That would be greatly appreciated, as it helps, obviously, the podcast grow. And let me know, also message me on either Facebook or Instagram if you've got any questions related to this episode, or if you want any questions answered in future. And as always, I will see you on the next one.